Whatever you do, Tom, don't get old. My feet don't work like they used to. My passage was read this morning by Brother Brian Marcus. Philippians chapter 2, please. It's amazing, this book that we call the Bible. There's no other book like it. You have other books that are religious. There are other books by that religions call their own. But the Bible is a unique book. It talks about God, and God in his infinite mercy has given us insights into exactly who he is. God is a spirit, John said in his epistle. God is light. Jesus said God is a spirit. John says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And as we look through the Bible, we see glimpses of who God is in his person. We see Moses on the mount, and we see him when he comes down, his countenance was shining. Moses asked to see God. God says, I can't show you my face because no one can see my face and live. And so he put him in the cleft of the rock and he put his hand over him and his backside passed by. And the results of that was Moses' face shone and the children of Israel couldn't look on Moses. And we see Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 has a vision of the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne. And his throne was ablaze. We see light is associated with God. And then when we come to the New Testament, we see that Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he claimed to be God. But he came down to this earth and he had a body. He was not light. He was not a spirit. So how could he be God? Well, I think the Apostle Paul was, it was revealed to the Apostle Paul how this happened in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we'll stop for there for now. So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have him talking about having an attitude within ourselves that was also in Christ Jesus, to think about ourselves in the same way that Jesus thought about himself. We see in verse 4 or verse 3, it says, do nothing from emptiness or conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not look out merely for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he says, have this attitude. So Paul is admonishing the Philippians to have an attitude of humility. It was the attitude that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he came down to this earth. And it said that Paul said, although, verse 6, he existed in the form of God. That's his pre-existence. That was before his birth. He existed before the earth was formed. He existed in the same way that God existed, in the same form that God existed. He was light. He was spirit. It says here he existed in the form of God, in the form of God. That word form is very important. That's the Greek word morphe. We use the word form in a similar way. He existed, he outwardly expressed what was inwardly there. We say of an athlete, you know, if a pitcher pitched a perfect game, we say the pitcher was in perfect form. Why? Because he outwardly showed in that game what was inwardly there, what he put inside his muscles, his eye, the way he throws the ball. He had worked so hard in perfecting those skills that he outwardly showed through that perfect game what was inwardly there. And this is what the word morphe means, to outwardly show what was inwardly there. He existed in the form of God. He outwardly showed God. And when he was a human on this earth, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped at or something to prize. He didn't have to say, well, hey, my goal is to be like God. He never said that because he was God. He didn't have to imagine what it was like to be God. He did not have to say, well, you know, I want to perfect myself to be God. No, he was God. He didn't have to grasp at that. He didn't have to grab a hold of that. So he existed in the form of God. But when he came down to this earth, it says here in verse 7, he emptied himself. He rendered himself empty, is the word. He took all that was God, and he laid it aside when he took upon himself the human body. He emptied himself of his Godhead. He laid that aside temporarily in order to take upon himself the form of a bondservant. The word form there is the same word as the form of God. It's the word morphe. Did you know that God is a servant? Am I getting a weird look from people? God is a servant. How do I know? I have a dog. How many have animals? Dogs, pets. You're a servant to your animal. Did you know that? You're a servant. I'm a servant to my little white, little fluffy puff ball of fur. When she wants something, mom and daddy jump for it. When she wants to go potty, she tells us, I want potty. When she wants her food, she tells us, I'm hungry. You're a servant to your pet. God is a servant to us. Even though he's the all supreme being, even though he's the God of the universe, he has intentionally put himself in the place of a servant to us. When he created Adam and Eve, he put himself in the place of a servant. He made himself a servant to us. What did Jesus Christ say? Matthew 20:26. It is not so among you, but whosoever wishes to become great among you shall also be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. He did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. The word there is the word we get deacon. He's a minister. He's a servant. Jesus came down to this earth, and everything he did, he served mankind. When he walked about, he preached the gospel to serve mankind. He healed the sick to serve mankind. He cast out demons to serve mankind. Everything he did as a servant. God is a servant. That's hard to wrap your mind around. God created this universe. I'm amazed at some of the science programs that are on TV. I like to watch them. I love the Hubble telescope. How many have seen pictures that the Hubble telescope has taken? Oh yeah, lots of you. Beautiful. The Bible says every star has its own brightness, its own glory. And the Hubble telescope pictures show that. Every star is in essence different. You look out there and you have these billions and billions of stars. Thousands and thousands of galaxies that have hundreds of thousands and billions of stars in them. And God created all that. He put them up there because he wanted us to look at them. It's amazing that all the stars in the constellations haven't moved in relation to Earth. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, talks about Orion's belt and the Pleiades. They're still up there. We can still recognize them. He talks about the bear, Ursa Major. Those constellations are still there thousands of years later. They haven't moved. What does the Bible say? God put them up there for signs and for seasons. He put them up there for us. It's amazing. Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a bondservant. He made himself into the likeness of man. Took upon himself the shape. The word likeness there is schema. You heard of a schematic? I had somebody do work on my furnace. I think it was Brother Dave. And he wanted to see something, so he took out the schematic drawing and looked at it. Said, oh yeah, I can see this and I can see that. Didn't look at all anything like I could read. But there were symbols on there, there were things on there that represented things that Brother Dave knew. And he could look at it and he could trace the pattern down and he could say, well, this is it. He was made in the likeness of man, in the form of man, in the outward appearance of man. But inwardly he was God. Inwardly he was God. He was in the morphe of God. There's a verse up here. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Where is that from? It's from the Transfiguration. Matthew 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them up to the high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. God is light. The word transfigured there is the word metamorphe. We get the word metamorphosis. We have metamorphosis happening all the time. A metamorphosis is a change. I'm not a bug man. But if you get someone who knows bugs and he looks at a caterpillar, he can tell you which kind of butterfly or which kind of moth that caterpillar is going to metamorphosize into. That little caterpillar is crawling on a plant. It's all little fuzzy, furry, whatever. It doesn't look at all like anything that you'd want to, you know, be like. And all of a sudden, he's just sitting there, he's eating away, you know, and all of a sudden, he decides that he's going to stop eating. He attaches himself to a little twig, and he'll either start forming a chrysalis, if you're a butterfly, or a cocoon, if you're a moth. And he spins, and he spins, and he spins, and he covers himself up, and he hangs there. And then all of a sudden, what was inside that little caterpillar emerges from that cocoon or that chrysalis. And you get a beautiful moth or a beautiful butterfly. He metamorphosized, he was transfigured into that beautiful animal that looks nothing like what it looked like before. Completely different. If you put a caterpillar and a butterfly next to each other, you'd never think they were related. If you put Jesus Christ in his earthly body and the God next to each other, you'd never think they were related. But here, Jesus Christ, when he was on that mountain, he couldn't help but show forth who he actually was. God is light. And that light just permeated through the body. And his face shone brighter than the sun. And his garments became white as light. The Apostle Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, saw that glorified Christ. And he said he was brighter than the noonday sun. And nothing brighter than the noonday sun in the desert. Nothing brighter. He was transfigured. He was metamorphosized. His garments became white as light. He existed in the form of God. We got this little picture. God was taken and he put himself into that body of human flesh. Why? Because God is a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. And found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He brought himself low. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He obeyed. Paul said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he became obedient to the point of death. He was looking out for us. He had us in mind. When he did that, he had you in mind, he had me in mind, he had everybody in mind when he became obedient unto death. So how can we have an attitude like this? How can we have this attitude? Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosized, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to go through a metamorphosis. We have to go through a metamorphosis too. What is the metamorphosis that we have to go through as believers? What do we have to do? We have to put something inside of us, like that baseball pitcher. We have to work at something that's inside of us so that when we experience things, that people see God in us. For one thing, it says, be not conformed to this world. There's a conformation and there's a transformation. I like Phillips' translation, I believe. This was years ago, I heard somebody quote him. It says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's conforming. That's conforming. You take a sponge and you have a little animal shape there. You take that sponge and you squeeze it down and it put it inside that, you know, that maybe a cookie cutter. And that sponge looks like the outline of a cookie cutter. But you pop it out and boom, it becomes the sponge again. It's not the cookie cutter. It's not the shape of the cookie cutter. You forced it in there. And the world wants us to be forced into being like it's like the world. We are not to be conformed. We're not to be forced into the world system. We're not to be. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was transformed, and we need to be transformed too. Are we being conformed? Are we being transformed? Are we being transformed? Are we having the world squeeze us into what it wants us to be? Or are we being transformed? How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. It has to do with our mind. Being transformed has to do with our mind. It has to do with reprogramming our mind. The more we read the Bible, the more we study the Word, the more we get into the Bible and find out what God wants us to know, then the more we're being transformed. When something happens in your life, something bad, you know, my feet go numb, I have to get a new knee, I get in an argument with somebody, I do something that offends somebody else, how do I react? Do I get defensive? Do I blame God for the bad things that are happening to me that I have no control over? God knows everything. God does, you know. Am I submitting to the things that are happening to me as God's will? I haven't finished the book yet, but my wife turned me on to this book. It's a little book. And it was written about the China Inland Mission missionaries that were in China in 1950. There's especially two of them that went. And God apparently told them to go to the northeast portion of China. And the communists were starting to crack down. There were 600 China Inland Missionaries in China when the communists started cracking down on foreign missionaries. And they took this long train trip thinking that they were going to go and that they were there in God's will. And when they got there, there was nothing but hardships. They went there thinking that this little church had wanted them there. But when they got there, the pastor of the church said, no, you can't, we can't talk to you. They were thinking that they were going to take over this house that these missionaries had left. And, they lived in the house, but they lived up in this old, this room up in the upper portions of the house that were cold and wet and clammy. They had a little baby daughter. It came about that as time went on, the communists had cut off had frozen all the funds of missionaries, foreigners, especially Americans. So they had to go and they had to beg for their money. God worked mysteriously. He got around that by giving them money another way. They were down to 45 cents at one point in time. But when you consider that $45 of a U.S. was $1 million Chinese dollars at that point. But it's the buying power. Come toward the end of the month, when every month they had to beg for money and they had to give this Chinese commissar a list of their budget. And he would say, well, we need $45 for the month. And he would give them $31.50. And then it was cut down even more, kept on getting cut. But God kept working, And they got to the point where they said, well, we're submitting to the will of God. We're submitting to God's will. Why aren't we happy? Why are we being, you know, we're submitting to God's will. This is God's will. We're submitting to it. But they read that Jesus joyfully submitted. They had no joy. They had no joy. Are we enduring things or do we have joy? Oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. What is our attitude? What is our mind? What do we have? How are we being transformed? Are you being transformed? Are you being conformed? Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He came down to, he let himself be taken to the lowest point possible. He experienced that death on the cross, that separation from God. He allowed his body to be put in the grave. But then he, 3 days later, thank God it's Sunday, he rose again. And therefore God hath highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every knee. Every knee. Every person that's ever existed. Every angel that's ever existed. Every demon that's ever rebelled against God. They're all going to bow the knee. Every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven, the angels. Those who are on earth, people. And those under the earth, the demonic forces. Every knee was going to bow. And every tongue is going to one day confess. They're going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I have a question for you. Have you acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord? You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you acknowledged him? If you haven't today, you're going to do one day. It's going to happen now or later, but you will acknowledge him that he's Lord. If you haven't done it now, please do it before it's too late. You never know when eternity will strike. You never know when your life will be taken. You never know. Read in the news that there was a young baby got burned to death in a house fire. 2 years old baby. That should never happen to a 2 year old baby. Taken into eternity. How many teenagers have ruined and wrecked their car, gone into eternity? We read of how these stupid idiot shooters go into these schools and shoot up people. You never know if there's an idiot going to be out there and you're going to receive a bullet. You never know what's going to happen to your life. Your life is a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. You put a pot of water on the stove to boil. You put the tea kettle on and you see the steam coming out of the spout. And the steam comes up and all of a sudden it's gone. That's our life. That's our life. It's here today and gone tomorrow. We'd have no guarantee of tomorrow. How do we have this attitude? How can we make ourselves in be able to transform ourselves, to transfigure ourselves by the renewing of your mind? Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellent, if anything is worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. You systematically read the Bible. You study the Word of God. Because all these things that Philippians 4:8 said are contained in the Bible. By reading the Word, by thinking about God's Word, whatever is good, whatever is pure. We started out by saying, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another is more important than themselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also on the interests of others. That's the context of this attitude that Christ had. Early on in Philippians, Paul was saying that some preach Christ out of envy and strife, thinking to add to his bonds. He was in prison when he wrote Philippians. And he says, some people are out there preaching the gospel in order to make it worse for me. Paul didn't care. He says, praise the Lord, the gospel's getting preached. Praise the Lord, the gospel's being preached. It's not how it's being done. It's not the motive for the motive of the person doing it, but it's that it's being done. Is the gospel being preached? Are you criticizing the guy that preaches the gospel? You hear the gospel being preached on the radio? I don't like that guy. He says things I don't care for. But he's preaching the gospel. If he's preaching the gospel, then praise the Lord, the gospel's getting preached. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he gave us the example of one who was obedient to the Father's will. And in such as being obedient, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross, Lord. And we thank you for him. We thank you that he came down to this earth. We thank you that he took upon himself the form of man, the likeness of man, but yet he was totally 100% your son. And he showed us that on the Mount of Transfiguration. He showed us that he was still God, even though he was in human flesh. And we thank you, Lord, for all that he has done for us. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who has not acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord and has not confessed their sins and that they need a Savior, that Savior was Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for their sins. If there's one here that doesn't know that, Lord, and doesn't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives so that they might, before it's too late, acknowledge him and put their faith and trust in him. And we also pray, Lord, for those who are believers here, for those who are your children, Lord, that we'll be able to renew our minds by putting our thoughts in a subjection to your word. And we just thank you for all that you do for us. We pray, Lord, as we go from here, you'll take us to our home safely. Bring us back again this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.